Okay, we're ready to dive into the third chapter of Philippians.
Yes, great chapter. Great chapter.
There's so much here. And one of the things that Paul addresses now you're thinking, okay, hey, we've got to stick together, get in unity, get in harmony. Hmm. Paul now addresses an attack that's coming from the outside.
Yeah.
And isn't that one of the issues, you know, the church? As a Christian, you've got all these struggles. Just trying to do the right thing, and then you're having trouble with, you know, Deacon Jones, and, you know, he's a bit narky, and you're trying to sort through that. And then there's a pressure comes in. Hey, you guys, you know what you're doing wrong? You should be following the laws of Moses more, and you're not really doing this right. And there's a sense of this pressure coming from all. Internal pressures in the church, external pressures trying to squeeze us, you know, and you think, oh, well, we don't live in a... And our church is not under pressure to circumcise any of the new believers.
Yeah.
That's not something our pastor has preached on. But you know what? There is a lot of pressure in the world squeezing us to how we should behave.
Yeah.
You know, how do we handle genders? How do we handle sexuality?
Yeah, yeah.
How do we handle a whole lot of things? You're not saying you're feeling that pressure in any church at the moment?
Yeah.
Change. Conform, do this, be under this way. Hey, if you just did this, you'd be more acceptable to the world.
So true.
So acceptable, you know. And if you just made this, you know, you're back in the arcade, you know, in the dark ages, you know.
Well, this is where I find the book of Philippians similar to the book of Colossians, in as much as he's warning them about outside influences. In Philippians, he says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. He didn't hold back.
No.
And in Colossians, he was telling them about watching out for worldly philosophies and everything. So there's a theme for both books there, I think.
And one of the interesting things here, Paul has been calling for unity, for harmony.
Yeah.
Get along.
Yeah.
You know, have the attitude of Jesus, harmony. And yet, here he is, evil workers, dogs, false
mutilators.
Well, that's hardly the talk of reconciliation and being getting along.
Yeah.
It's not a getting along of let's just compromise everything and take the biggest voice or the most pressure and let's just wipe out anything that causes offense. I tell you this right now, the gospel at its core is offensive. The only way you can make the gospel inoffensive is to take the gospel out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
It offends me to my core because it's against me. It's against my flesh and it's against my pride.
That's right.
I've got to bow my knee to Jesus.
That's
offensive. It calls me a sinner. It says you are sick and you are in need of a doctor to heal you.
It's confrontational.
It is. Yeah. So when we talk about being in harmony, it is not the harmony of compromise.
No.
It's the harmony of being united, and that's why I keep pushing back. Paul doesn't say being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the spirit, full stop. It says intent on one purpose. Our harmony is a uniting with Jesus and his ways,
with
his truth.
And he also puts himself up as an example, you know, rather than sort of saying, hey, Philippians, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. He said, listen, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So he's debasing himself to show them this is what needs to be done.
Yeah, I could have been the ultimate Pharisee Christian.
Yeah.
But he said, no. And very powerful verse, right down in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all that Jesus has for me.
Press on.
But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which I also was laid hold of by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In other words, God has got me for a purpose.
Yep.
And he's got us as a church for a purpose. He's got you and your church for a purpose. And you've got to guard. The unity is also a stiff arm. I don't know, anyone here that doesn't follow Australian rules, it's a type of former football sport here in Melbourne, Australia. And there's a classic player called Dusty Martin.
Don't argue.
And David actually used to play AFL football, for those who didn't know, back in the day when...
Back in the 1930s, I think it was.
Back in the day, long before they had electricity.
That's right.
But... There's a famous player called Dusty Martin, and he's known for a particular move, which is as players come to tackle him, he puts his arm up, and it's the stiff arm, and he these guys are big, but he manages to push them off and keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
He is very difficult to tackle because he's got, it's called the stiff arm action.
Yeah.
And he pushes. Well, we've got to, as a church, we unite, but we've also got a stiff arm.
Amen.
We've got to push the pressures to conform, to compromise and to do things in a way that makes the Pharisees of the world
yes.
happy. But we're here to please Jesus.
That's right.
This is about doing Amen. What Jesus is wanting Amen. And his love and his mercy. And we're not going to do it the world's way. So listen to this third chapter and say, you know what? Paul is passionate, but not in a passion that says, hey, let's all sing Kumbaya and sit in a circle and weave daisies into
yeah,
our hair.
Exactly.
And just let's just have harmony where we know, you know, where no one gets upset with anybody. That's not the type of harmony. It's a harmony born out of sacrifice,
yeah.
born out of sincerely putting aside our own cares and taking Jesus. We're all harmonized about Jesus and Amen. Through his cause. And so read as David reads, listen to this passion that Paul has. And he says, you know, and this is what we're going to embrace. And we're not going to be sidetracked and we're not going to be pulled aside by this false teaching.
Yeah. In conclusion, my brothers, all joy be yours in your union with the Lord. To repeat what I have already written does not weary me and is the safe course for you. Beware of those dogs. Beware of those mischievous workers. Beware of the men who mutilate themselves. For it is we who are the circumcised, we whose worship is prompted by the Spirit of God, who exult in Christ Jesus, and who do not rely upon external privileges. Though I, if any man, have cause to rely even upon them. If anyone thinks he can rely upon external privileges, far more can I. I was circumcised when 8 days old. I am an Israelite by race and of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew and the child of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to such righteousness as is due to law, I proved myself blameless. But all the things which I once held to be gains, I have now, for the Christ's sake, come to count as loss. More than that, I count everything as loss, for the sake of the exceeding value of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And for his sake I have lost everything, and count it as refuse. If I may but gain Christ and be found in union with him, any righteousness that I have being not the righteousness that results from law, but the righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is derived from God and is founded on faith, then indeed I shall know Christ and the power of his resurrection and all that it means to share his sufferings, in the hope that if I become like him in death, I may possibly attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already laid hold of it, or that I am already made perfect, but I press on in the hope of actually laying hold of that for which indeed I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. For I, brothers, do not regard myself as having yet laid hold of it. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining every nerve for that which lies in front, I press on to the goal to gain the prize of that heavenward call which God gave me through Christ Jesus. Let all of us then, whose faith is mature, think thus. Then if on any matter you think otherwise, God will make that also plain to you. Only we are bound to order our lives by what we have already attained. Brothers, unite in following my example, and fix your eyes on those who are living by the pattern which we have set you. For there are many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, who are living in enmity to the cross of the Christ. The end of such men is ruin, for their appetites are their God, and they glory in their shame. Their minds are given up to earthly things. But the state of which we are citizens is in heaven, and it is from heaven that we are eagerly looking for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the exercise of his power to bring everything into subjection to himself, will make this body that we have in our humiliation like to that body which he has in his glory.